Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA Podcast. And on this April 29th, 2021, we're coming to you from Western Pennsylvania, where we're going to discuss a very challenging, esoteric, abstruse concept, insensitivity to small numbers. And we're going to apply that mathematical concept again, insensitivity to small numbers, to some random items and to some specific important ones for us. Gambling, watching YouTube videos, traveling, experimenting. It's a deep subject, but we got the people to talk about it. Oh boy, it's yours truly. But first, let me say hello to our digital audience, and they're back in force today. Hi, everyone. Thanks for coming. Okay, very short break, and we'll begin episode 110 for Casinos USA Podcast.
Hi, everyone. This is Jane. Coach Fav and I just decided that one night we were going to look at videos on YouTube about Reno, because we had been there and we were delighted with Reno. In fact, we are going to go back. We liked it so much. But a couple of the videos that we saw just didn't capture everything. Maybe it was that small numbers idea that it wasn't looked at, or Reno was being compared too much to Las Vegas, which is like comparing apples to oranges. It's not the same thing. It's a small town almost. But it has a great atmosphere. It happened to be called the divorce city for I don't know how many years, decades, because you could go there and get a pretty quick divorce. But on the more positive side, we wanted to explain that starting at the airport, because we took a flight from Las Vegas to Reno, and it's under an hour flight. It's about 50 to 55 minutes. The airport was delightful. It looks like a ski chalet, being up in the mountains like it is. It's small, but it's really well laid out. It's very decorative, and it's just charming. I guess charming is a better word for it. And in fact, my granddaughter thought that it was the cutest airport she had ever been in. And if she says that, then I thought, wow, I really have to see that airport. Very, very nice. Nice shops, good restaurants. It was a good experience both flying in and flying out of there. Well, you can rent your car right there in the airport, and then you walk right across the street to the huge parking garage, and they have all the vehicles in there, and that's where you return them to. So it's very quite easy, because we had to take our car in there at about 4 a.m. when we returned.
And just like the Las Vegas airport, you can start gambling at the Reno airport. They also have slots for travelers.
Right. There's no shortage of casinos or gaming in Reno. It is on a much smaller scale, but there's 30 casinos within 10 miles of the airport. And from the one video that we looked at, it looked as though there might be four, the three that are in the row together, and then another one. So that is a misconception. There's quite a few within, as I said, 10 miles of the airport, and then there's more all around on the outskirts and the whole way to Lake Tahoe, and then at Lake Tahoe, which is another item that wasn't mentioned, that you have that unbelievable recreational area in Lake Tahoe, both in the skiing and in the winter sports. There's a couple other ski resorts on the way to Tahoe.
I'm glad that sound came up, because when you say Lake Tahoe, it's unbelievably high end. I mean, some of the resorts there are arguably maybe the best resorts in the United States of America. I mean, Lake Tahoe is such an attraction, and it's just incredible that in a travel video, you wouldn't mention Lake Tahoe. It's such an essential part of the Reno experience. And, of course, there's hiking trails, biking trails, and then, of course, the winter sports. But Lake Tahoe has all the action, you know, fishing, swimming, water skiing, jet
casinos.
Casinos. It has. It's incredible, and it's what's the word? Gorgeous.
Yes.
It's, the setting in the mountains with a giant mountain lake is just gorgeous.
Right. That's such a high on the list of a recreational area that to associate it with Reno, it has to be associated with Reno. The other area that should be associated with Reno is UNR, which is the University of Nevada at Reno. It's one of the prettiest campuses. It's only, you can walk to it from the downtown area. It might be, it's between 5 and 8 blocks. It's,
it's talking from the starting point being the Silver Legacy, the row, it's maybe not even 5 blocks.
Maybe not, you know, where it first starts.
Right, you're on Virginia Street, and then you just go down in the camp. It's what an asset for a city, a small city, a small town, as Janie said, to have a major
and
university.
It is, it is in the Mountain West Division I Athletic Conference, and the men's basketball team has been very competitive the last few years. They've been a joy to watch.
And the football team has been wonderful to watch, and they won a bowl last year. You know, they went to a bowl and won a bowl.
Right. You can go visit the campus. The stadium's there, and they have a beautiful big field house. There's also a neat bar called Ricky's right on the street on across from the university parking garage where they have great sandwiches, great pizza, and then there's also a campus store that's there where you can buy all the shirts, sweatshirts, and jackets and so on. That's right there, very convenient.
And then, as most university towns, when you have a university in your town, that elevates the cultural offerings. You know, when you think about student productions and plays and guest speakers, and there's an intellectual aspect to Reno because of that university.
Oh, right. And I would also mention that there's a lot of sculptures in Reno. Now, this one video that we saw did show a couple of them, but they're all over the town. We took a little walking tour on our own, and we saw some just delightful, beautiful sculpture areas, like at bus stops.
An interesting thing happened, and it could have been a disaster. There was, during the summer months, when the school, you know, was open for the summer programs, but there weren't that many students on campus, there was an explosion of a boiler in one of the dormitory areas, and it was severe, and that dorm couldn't be open for the start of the fall semester. And so the school negotiated with Circus Circus, one of the casinos in the row, and they actually took a tower, and they didn't house their whole student population, but a large number of students were placed in the tower, either by choice or just because there was room for them on campus. That was relatively an amazing thing. And when we visited Reno, it was operational when we saw college students, you know, going into the Circus Tower.
Well, as it turned out, yeah, we would wait for our car in the parking garage, valet parking. We were waiting for it, and we could see it was a full-sized bus that would go to Circus. I guess the buses ran 24 hours because they wanted to be available to students anytime they needed them going to and from the campus. And we happened to watch them loading, and the way it was set up, the tower was secured, and so the students weren't available to go into the casino, at least from the tower or so on, or people from the tower into from the casino into the tower. But they did secure it, and I guess the students that stayed there liked it. Some of them, the ones who didn't want to stay there wasn't because it was in the casino, but it was because they had to be outside in the buses when it was cold, and they didn't want to do that. At least that's the ones I talked to.
Some of the airport casinos, again, in downtown Reno and the airport are just 3.5 miles apart, are very comparable to Las Vegas Strip hotels. They're big, but you can get a variety of choices. You can, and just like in Las Vegas, you can stay at a lower end, middle end, or a high end casino resort in Las Vegas, and you can do the same thing in Reno. And that's something that I think didn't come across in some of the travel videos that we saw. It was like the choices were all lower.
Right, right. Well, it is nice having those three hotels and casinos together in the row. the El Dorado Circus Circus and the Silver Legacy, because you can have dining in all three of them. You can have gaming in all three of them. And obviously, if you want to do little fun kind of games, even if you're older and you don't have any children with you, you can go to the Circus Circus. Their Midway is full of games and gaming, I should say.
And one thing that's convenient is the three casinos in the row use one player's card. So it doesn't matter which one you gamble in, you're getting points that would help you to get a room at Circus Circus or El Dorado or the Silver Legacy. I wanted to mention one thing that is, I think that if you visited Reno, you'd want to see. It's a replica of a mining machine that's part of the silver history of Nevada, the Silver State. The Silver Legacy is named after that. And this mining machine is huge. That's a strange word, huge, but can you describe that mining machine, Janie?
Well, it's at least three or four stories tall. But what it does, what it was designed for was to take the silver ore and then mine it, process it, and develop it into silver bars and silver coins in that one full operation. And they have a replica there that you can see all of that, which is really interesting.
Yeah, and this is long before the era of modern technology. You know, it was done with gasoline engines, pulleys, etc. It just is an incredibly...
Right, and there's little plaques there that tell you the whole story about it. And then right beside it on the main floor, it has a lot of information there that you can read about it and you can see. I just wanted to mention some of the other large and full-scale casino hotel operations that are there and equivalent to any of the ones in Las Vegas. Aside from the Row, which has the three together, there's also the Atlantis. There's the Grand Sierra. That's considered, both Atlantis and the Grand Sierra are considered resorts and casinos. Then, of course, there's the Peppermill, which is...
It's an impressive casino.
It is. You just need, these are the types of, you need to go look at them just to see. And they have anything you would want in them. But they're all right there. So we just wanted to give Reno its fair share because we just couldn't believe how much enjoyment we got there. And I would say another factor is that the pricing as far as food.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the rooms aren't much less. In fact, I think they're probably more there than they are in Las
Vegas. Well, we didn't have a gambling history there.
Well, no, we didn't. But I still think... they're comparable. We did have a Keurig machine in our room at the Silver Legacy.
Yeah, the Silver Legacy it reminds me of the Luxor Tower rooms. They're very nice.
Right, they're nice. Okay. So the food is at least half, I would say maybe three quarter of the price, sometimes half price.
Yeah, even when the local Starbucks is much less.
Right. When I walked out of the deli the first evening, I even said to the gentleman, I said, is this right? Did you get everything that I have here? Because it would have cost me twice as much in Las Vegas. So I was pleasantly surprised. And the coffee, the Starbucks. There is only one among the three in the row, but there is one there. And their coffee, everything was less there, too.
So we wanted to make sure that we could add some details, and, you know, so we don't make a flaw, mentally fall, and say, oh, geez, Reno just doesn't have enough. It has so much. But silly, everybody has their likes. I would go back to the Silver Legacy, even if I wasn't staying there, if I was visiting UNR or downtown Reno for one thing. The Irish coffees.
Oh, my goodness. We're good. That was a good way to start a morning. We had a very early flight from Las Vegas, like a 6 o'clock. They have commuter flights from Reno to Las Vegas and back. So we had, I think it was at like 6 in the morning or whatever. So we were ready. We had coffee, obviously, on the plane, but we were ready when we got there to have the Irish coffees. And they were, what a way to start the morning.
And Janie mentioned it, another thing I'd go back to. And this is on the UNR campus almost. It's just by their student dorms. A student hangout called Ricky's. Just incredible pizza. Incredible.
Well, and the great sandwiches, but the staff, very helpful. And you know, we were new to the campus. We weren't sure where to go, where to park, what. And they were very, very helpful. And we'd go back in a minute.
And for your information... We know that in Las Vegas, University of Nevada, Las Vegas is UNLV, and they're the Running Rebels. But UNR, University of Nevada, Reno, is the Wolf Pack. So we wanted to make sure that we could add more details so you could get a sort of a bigger picture.
Right, and their slogan is, the strength comes from the wolf.
The strength of the pack is the wolf, and the strength of the wolf is the pack.
Right,
okay. I love it, though. It's a great expression.
Right, I get it mixed up. But
okay, Janie, thank you. And I'll tell you what, we're both agreeing that we are going back to Reno this year.
Yes.
All right, thanks, Janie. Wow, hey, we just are so happy that we had an opportunity in the podcast to really set things straight, that you can't just pick out a couple things in downtown Reno and try to create that this is the impression of Reno, Nevada. And again, that's insensitivity to small numbers. You know, it's like I have a friend that went to Las Vegas one time, and he stayed in one hotel, and he told me he hated it. I said, I hate Vegas. I said, you didn't experience Vegas. You stayed in one place, which I wouldn't have picked. And, you know, you didn't ask for help. You didn't read about things you could do there. And I said, you know, so that one singular experience, you know, it's not representative of what a Las Vegas vacation visit is like. And it's the same thing when you just pick out two or three or four details and you're insensitive to that, and insensitivity to small numbers, just a few details, that creates, as that mathematical principle, you know, warns us, that creates the possibility of flawed thinking. And that's exactly what happens so often when you're trying to create the impression of an entire place just based on a very small amount of details. So it's my intention in this segment to make references to that same flaw when it comes to just ordinary gambling. And yet the topic remains, you know, hard to embrace completely, because you think immediately of when you use a singular experience to make an important decision. And I'll tell you one. I bought a Volkswagen Passat diesel from a dealer, and the dealer service department was so bad, they literally couldn't fix wipers that didn't work. When the temperature got to a certain point, you know, and again, Western Pennsylvania can get very cold, so it went below 18, 19 degrees, the wipers wouldn't work, and they couldn't fix it. You know, so based on that singular, I actually traded a car in at a Lincoln dealership, you know, but the point is, I'm not going to take a chance, even though that was a singular experience. I'm not going to buy another car from that dealership. It's as simple as that. And I understand that. But the insensitivity to small numbers still creates flaws in our thinking. And I know there's exceptions, as I just said, because it's just too much of a chance to take. And the first exception I want to talk about is in the game of craps. Very capable mathematicians have looked at the game of craps, and they'll tell you, and there's not any exceptions to this, that if you play from the pass line, if you enjoy playing from the pass line, the best way to play craps is what they refer to as smart craps. And that is, you take full odds, so the number's rolled, and the number rolled is 5. And you have money on the pass line, and you put full odds behind the pass line. And then you take 2 comebets, and wherever they go, you put full odds on those numbers. So that the best way, according to the mathematicians, to play craps from the pass line is not place betting, not hybrid betting, not anything like that. It's just to put full odds on pass line bets and full odds on combats, and they prefer to, you could do more, but that's what is referred to as smart craps. And that's considering the math of the game, you know, over the long haul. The problem with that is that if you're playing in a casino where it's 10 time odds, as that's not that unusual, so you have $10 on the pass line and you're going to put $100 behind it. All right, and then you do it for 2 more combats. So you have over $300
on the table. Boom, seven out. All right? That happens a couple of times. You're down a grand in a blink of an eye. And, yeah, we can argue and say, well, if you played long enough, you'd get it back. That's the smartest way to play. But what I'm saying is it's not the smartest way to play because it's too expensive when the system fails. And you might watch me play and you would say, that's a terrible craps bet to make. And I'm going to explain that in craps talk today. But that's a terrible craps bet to make. The odds of making that are just so much against you, you know? It's a terrible bet, of course, until you make it, you know? And then all of a sudden, it's not so bad. So, you know, you can go the other way with this. You can say, I'm going to play craps the way the mathematicians tell me to play, or I'm not going to play. And I'm going to tell you, well, you might be lucky because, you know, you're 35, hour 35, two-hour game. It might be right along what the math says, but it might be just the opposite. And you could lose several thousand dollars in the blink of an eye. And when that happens to people, they don't want to play craps anymore. They don't want to play craps anymore because they can't afford it. It doesn't make sense. Well, my record for casino visits, and I'm just saying a visit, whether I play one time, two times, or three times that day or an evening in a casino, I just count that as one visit. My record for coming home as a winner is 12 times. 12 times in a row, I've gone to casinos and played craps and came home a winner. Well, since the reopening of the pandemic, I now have 8 in a row, and I'm going to talk about the 9th in craps talk. But I was the comeback kid, and I'll tell you, in the first session, I lost. So let's go right to Crab's Talk and tell you a real-life story from a very recent stay at the Meadows. This was just 2 days ago before our podcast, and I want to share that experience with you.
3, 2, 1.
Well, on our most recent trip to the Meadows, the first thing we noticed was there's no longer a requirement to take your temperature. And at the craps table, there was no longer plexiglass separations between players, three on one end and three on the other. They still just permitted 6 people to a table, which, of course, they could double that easily. And they still didn't do that. So it was, even though the plexiglass was gone, hey, the other thing was that they are now comping alcoholic drinks and bringing them to the tables. And so that's part of the pandemic's over. The bartenders are back, and you can play video poker at bars. Those are all things I wanted to mention. You can still use your MyCash points. It's Penn National, my choice. You can use the MyCash points at the Hyatt. We had a free room at the Hyatt. We currently were getting a free room every 2 weeks, so 2 a month, so to say. And anyway, let's talk about what happened at the craps table in a first session and then a more rewarding second session. Well, it's a $10 table at the Meadows Casino, and it's like that in Western Pennsylvania right now. The $5 tables are gone. Other times of the day, I was there in the afternoon to start, and at other times of the day, those tables can go to 15 pretty quickly, too, minimum, you know, line bets. But I was playing what I called the pandemic special, and Jeremy Ellerich's Color Up videos did a recent one. It's already had, I think, 14 or 15,000 views. But, you know, when you play $15 tables, it can be very expensive. So I just started with a $15 pass line bet, even though it was a $10 table. But I started with $10 5, a $12 6, a $12 8. And upon a hit of the 6 or 8, you know, I would take that hit and I would press up the 6 and 8 one unit each, $6, $6. You know, a $12 bet pays 14 on a 6 and 8. And if I got a 5 for $10, that would also be a $14 winner. I would use that money to press the 5 up. So I really wanted to get to $18 bets on the 6 and 8 and then a $15 bet on the five, and then I could go one more time if I wanted to. And this chance, I could take them all up one more time before I started collecting and playing the field as well. So, you know, I think to play the Iron Cross and make it have any make any sense, you bet the 5, 6, 8 with the higher amounts than you have on the field, or otherwise you're just wasting your time. So that's what I was thinking. But I just didn't. I started out conservatively, so try to get that every bet paid $21, and then the field number would pay the $10. And so, you know, that's how I wanted, what I wanted to do. Well, it was a disaster. I mean, all I did was lose. And everybody who was playing the pass line and making place bets did the same thing. Because, you know, I've often said any system works when people are rolling numbers. And none of those systems work, pass line systems or place bet systems or pressing systems, when there's just quick sevens, you know. Yeah, you could say, well, you could play the hybrid, but even then sometimes, you know, you're just going to break even. Well, after, I don't know, an hour and a half, I was down $260. And come on, you know, my loss limit for the entire day was $300. So I stopped, and we went and had our comp dinner because of our my cash points. We went back to the Hyatt for that. And then after, it was a wonderful dinner we had there. And again, we used our points to pay for it, so it was free, and we had a free room, so that was all great. And Janie was about even, she said. So, you know, she was in an up mood. And I said, well, I'm $40 from my loss limit, and I think I'll just go play video poker when we go back, you know, for our second set, the evening set. She said, no. She said, let me just cover you for $60. I want you to go back because it could turn. It always happens to you. And I said, I just don't feel it today. And she said, no. So I went with her at first, sat down, watched her play slots a little bit. And she puts in 50 cents in first pool. She wins over $100. So, you know, I thought, well, maybe things are turning around. So she said, here, take 60 and, you know, go in for 100 and just see what happens, and then you can play video poker and not worry about it. I said, yeah, I know, I got a streak going, 8 wins here at the Meadows, and or not just the Meadows, but 8 wins since the pandemic reopened here, and the casino permitted reopening, and I really didn't feel that strongly about it. So I went over, and then there was just a couple of people playing. It was, when I had left, the table was 6 people, and then there were some people waiting on it. And they actually opened up a second table, I noticed. But when I went back, I was sort of surprised. The second table guys were just standing around in the table where I played before. And I went back to the scene of the crime. But, you know, I went back to my favorite end. So I thought, what am I going to do here? I wasn't going to play the same way. And I played with an insensitivity, not to small numbers, but to the correct way to play, you know. Look, I always try to get the smart craps on a hot table. I try to increase my odds bets. I start making come bets, you know, when the table's hot. But I was struggling. I was down $260, and I had a $100 buy-in. Well, I thought, you know what, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to make, because I'm going to play just a short amount of time, I thought, I'm going to make very long, odd bets to bring me back. And so the first thing I did was I threw $5 and I told a dealer, hop, this is a come-out roll, hop the hard ways, high on the 10. And I didn't even make a line bet, you know, and I thought you'd probably have to, but he didn't say anything, so I didn't even make a line bet. So somebody throws a hard 8. So I got a dollar on it, and I want to keep it up, so I win $26. And I throw another 5 down, and I say, press it, you know? Again, I don't have a line bet, so you think I'm making this up, and I'm not. Next turn comes up, and I got $4 on a hard 10. It's a hard 10. Okay, well, there's 2 more rolls of hard 8s. So 3 hard 8s and a hard 10 over 4 rolls. And I almost got my $260 back, you know. And I've been there seriously less than 10 minutes. And are you kidding me?
you know, making these bets that are just terrible bets mathematically. But these small experiences, tables can go this way, you know, for 30 minutes, the worst bets and craps could come up. And, you know, so don't criticize someone making those bets. You can't say mathematically it's a horrible bet. If you play for infinity, if you play for the next 5 days, if you play for the next 3 months, maybe they are. But you just play one singular session. So I then went, played what I call 15-6, you know, $15 on the pass line to start a new game, and $11 action. I had $5 on hop the hard ways, high in the 10, and $6 three-way craps on bet. So the first thing that happens there, somebody throws a deuce, you know. So it wins $56. Well, I lost the hop the hard ways bet, so really it's 51, but I pressed the three-way craps, $6, and took my, you know, $50 hit, and doesn't a 12 come up? It's just unbelievable what happens, you know. So I started making, what they tell you, never play hard ways. I'm throwing $9 on, you know, every time I get a hit on a number, I'm pressing the hard ways. So I got $8 or $9 on one number, $9 on another number, $10 on another number, and I start rolling hard ways. So it's like I could, no matter what stupid bet I could think of, it won, you know. Somebody throws a go, so hey, I throw, hey, give me a $5. Yeah, it hits, you know. So anyway, I not only make up my $260, I have so much success with these stupid bets, right? I don't think they're stupid, because anything can happen, you know. Anything can happen in a short period, you know. I end up winning $516, and that completes my ninth visit to a casino since the reopening, following the shutdowns and the pandemic. And I'm $516 richer. And then I go over and see my wife, and she kept her hot play, so she won several hundred dollars. So what I thought was going to be a disaster turned out to be one of the most successful days we've had there in a long time, where both of us won several hundreds of dollars. And you know, again, I go back to Jimmy the Greek, and Jimmy the Greek says, allegedly, he didn't say this to me, but I've read it so many places, you ain't dead in craps till your ass is cold. You know, meaning that the game can change so dramatically. And so the insignificance of small numbers is when you do one of two things. You make a judgment based on very little evidence, so the small numbers are really insignificant. Or you expect the big numbers to always roll, you know. You expect the mathematical way to approach anything to always be the right way, when sometimes the small number is very significant. Because I'm making bets that really there's a much smaller way to win with the bets I was making, and they became very significant. So I just think this concept from the world of mathematics, the insignificance of small numbers, is a very, what, profound thing that you can apply to your reasoning in a variety of situations. And we did it today with travel videos and with gambling. And I also mentioned car dealership. I would suggest to gamblers and also to vloggers that before you do anything, do some research. Yeah, you could say that what Jeremy Ellerick has shown you in Color Up is a violation of the best way to play from the pass line. But I'm telling you, there are a lot of times the way he's shown you will be more successful than the best way to play craps, smart craps. And so when someone's talking craps, showing craps, take a look at it. There's one more thing I want to say, and it really troubles me. I still see these people who claim to be experts, and they're selling a way of playing craps, and they tell you, you can't lose. And in this one, associated with what keeps people walking, you know, your physiology, saying that, well, you can't throw a seven, and you're going to put $60 in every number, and, you know, you're going to do this a couple times during the course of a day, and
you're going to come away with $1,000 a day. You'll be $1,000. Why work? You just can't throw a seven, you know, doing it this way. Well, of course you can. You know, that's not true. And so my point to anyone who's trying to bamboozle people, there's an old word, right? If you really knew that you can't throw a seven and they were legal dice, why stop at putting $60 on a number? Why not put the house maximum on the number? Wouldn't you? Say the house maximum was $500 a number. Wouldn't you put $500 on every number if you really knew that you couldn't throw a seven? I mean, just the fact that they would say $60, but I know we're not going to throw a seven, then why don't you put the house maximum? It just upsets me because I want to be honest with you. And you know, just as a video that shows a city with just a couple examples, you know, is not as honest as it should be because you don't get the right impression, the wholesome impression, the complete impression of the city or the casino resort. And the same is with gambling. You can have a system in roulette that works great, but it doesn't work all the time. And that's the point I'm trying to make. And I hope you discuss the insignificance of small numbers and how to take that and apply it to your thinking. And to be careful and to be forewarned when someone tells you, that's a terrible restaurant, I went there once. Well, you know what? It may not be a terrible restaurant. It was a terrible thing that happened to her that night, right? You know, the food was cold, it was whatever it was. But it doesn't mean that's always going to happen. Just like, you know, when I did what I did, I, you know, hopped the hard ways high in a 10 and pressed it up and I get four hard numbers, you know, in a row. That's not always going to happen, but it happened. And so for me, that was the best way to bet because in a blink of the eye, I made all the money that I had lost back. So I'll just stop with that. And again, we're in podcast 110. Our podcast keeps expanding. You know, we're on six new outlets. We let you know about those. And we have to make a decision about Amazon. Maybe cave into some of the things they want because it would be great to be on Amazon Music too. But I really haven't made that decision yet. I'm going to make it in the next few days. And if you want to, you're welcome to follow us and join our Facebook group. And let's go to Facebook, We're Casinos USA. You have to answer a few questions, promising us you won't advertise, and especially Bitcoin. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Casinos USA 2017. Until we meet again, right? Remember, at Casinos USA, every day is Saturday. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in a couple weeks. So long.
Hey, every day is Saturday.